what Brother Bear preached on Wednesday night, did an awesome job. If we go to 1 Peter 2, verse number 5. It says, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So we're a house. We're lively stones. Amen. I don't know if we could be the house if we're not lively. That's really what it's saying. Then if you turn to Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 6. But Christ as a son over his own house. Question is, whose is house? Whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. But Christ as a son over his own house. Whose house we are. And then Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21. In whom all of the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation, a place of residency of God through the Spirit. Amen. If we read chapter 4, it would talk about how all of us together make up the house, you know. I wouldn't want to come home and find out some of my rooms are gone. You know, it's a house. Paid for the whole thing. Someone comes and takes some of it. Not good. Lord, we ask your blessing and anointing upon your word this morning. Allow us, God, to not only benefit by the information, but by the Spirit. And as we hear it, we grow stronger and closer to you. Blessed in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Sister Nivia was very honest this morning. And I think we need to all be very honest with each other. We all have certain wants and we all have certain desires. They keep flooding our mind and we think about what we want. It's an incentive for the future. If you had everything that you ever wanted, people become depressed because now they don't have a hope. If you don't have a hope for what's coming, for heaven, for a new earth here. And we are not bashful to ask God on a regular basis for the things that we want, you know? Sometimes we're hesitant to ask other people, but we're not bashful at all to ask God what we want. And God is so patient to listen to our every request. Can you think about it? We've been asking him sometimes for the same thing over and over, and God doesn't say, that's it, you've talked about this too long. He's patient. God even said in Psalms 37 and 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. So there's a prerequisite if you really want some of those desires. First of all, you've got to delight yourself in God. Be faithful. God wants us to be happy as we progress in our relationship with God wants us to be happy and content as we progress in our relationship with him. But if we're not progressing in the relationship with God, there's going to be a void. There's going to be some things that, well, I just don't feel complete. In fact, 3 John 1 and 2, if you'll turn to that, is one of the most outstanding scriptures. He reveals to us and says, beloved, I wish, this is God speaking, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Here's the contingent, even as thy soul prospereth. So God says, I want you to do well financially. I want you to be healthy. I want you to be happy. As you grow spiritually, it's just a natural production of all of the things that we want. Amen. God wishes above all things that we prosper. Now I'm not talking about more money than you can possibly spend. Nothing so trivial as that. We're talking about the really important things in life, like happiness and contentment and health and salvation. He wants us to prosper in the things that he knows will make us happy. Sometimes we're thinking, oh, if I had that, I would be happy. We get it, and we're still not happy. There are a lot of frustrated people in this world because they're using their formula for happiness instead of God's formula. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Well, I've got $6 million in the bank, and I'm not happy, and my kids won't live for God, and I'm not feeling very good. Hallelujah. Struggling to make ends meet when God simply says, put me first. Amen. I'll take care of the rest of it in your life. Amen. See, this is not complicated. Amen. This is so simple. God has made it so simple for us to be happy. Amen. If we are transparent, most of us give God a shopping list every day. Here's what I need today. God, here's my latest desire and wants. Remember, I've been delighting myself in you. Remember, I was in church Sunday, God. Pastor said. But the question I want to address this morning, please hear me. God, what's your desire? What'll make you happy? What will you delight in my life? What do you want from me that I can produce for you, God? Instead of, God, help me, God, do this. God, he is not our servant. We are his servants. So what do you long for from me? What is the most important thing to you that I can do? And some here would say, it's got to be worship. And others would be faithful to prayer. Others might think, if I was more committed to God, if I gave more to God, well, that would be it. All those are essential for our walk for God. These are part of our Christian faith, if you will. What does God want more than anything else in the world? The answer may really surprise you. Are you ready? God wants a house. Not a big house, not a fancy house, not a rented house, but a house that he can be proud of, a house that he can put on display, a house that is always clean. Isaiah 66, and one says, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. He's got it all. Heaven is so incredible, we couldn't even describe it. And the earth, it's just a footstool for God because he's so great. But then it goes on to say, where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? God repeats it again in the New Testament. If you turn to Acts chapter 7, verse 48. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? See, this isn't just an Old Testament theory. It's not an Old Testament rule, but it's for us today. Listen, God is not so impressed with our church building. And I know that we've all sacrificed, and I believe we have a beautiful sanctuary. So many people yesterday commented on the beautiful church that we have, that it actually looks like a church. God's not impressed with our chandeliers. Have you looked at his chandeliers in the middle of the night? He's not impressed with our choir. He's not impressed with our singing. He's not impressed with our music. Ear has not heard the choirs in heaven, but there will be a day when we're going to hear an orchestra that is beyond what we could possibly imagine. So what can we produce that would compare to the grandeur of heaven and earth as the footstool of God? God's desire is beyond the grandeur and the majestic things that he has already made, something that is greater than that. I've had the privilege to be in some of the most opulent and magnificent cathedrals all over the world, in St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. I mean, it is just beyond words. In the cathedrals in Paris and in Jerusalem and other parts. We were in Mexico, in Puebla, a year ago, and there's a Catholic church there that you just shake your head. You wonder where all of this gold and marble and architecture, how many hundreds of years would it take in order to build an edifice like this? But you know what? They're all fireplaces without fire. They're useless. They're buildings. We can look at what man has done, but I want to look at what God has done, you see? Our goal has always been to get to heaven. But listen, God's goal is always to leave heaven. He wants to be with us. He doesn't want to be up there. He doesn't want to be with the angels. He wants to be with us on a Sunday morning, to live in an earthly house rather than a heavenly place. Exodus 25 and 8 says, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. David's greatest desire was to build a house for God. He wanted to build this temple for God because of the great love that he had. And you know, the perspective in this world, because of ignorance, is we love God so much we're willing to sacrifice to build a building. And God says, no, not impressed at all. If you could see what I see. You see some of the pictures from outer space. They're absolutely magnificent. If heaven is anything like that, we won't have any words. When Paul went up to the third heaven, the Bible says that he didn't have any words to express how great, how opulent, how majestic it was. But God wouldn't allow David to build him a house. And in Psalms 132 and 4, David said, I will not give sleep to mine eyes nor slumber to my eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord and habitation for the mighty God. I have this desire. There's something that's inherent within me that says I gotta build something for God. Amen. David knew in his heart that God desired a permanent place for his spirit to dwell. And he got all excited, and God said, no, you're not going to be able to do that. You're a man of war, and I don't want you to build a house for me. And in fact, if we're going to war with everybody around us, God's not going to allow us to build anything for him. Now, Noah spent 120 years building an ark. And it was a type and a shadow of the present church building. Now, this place is not the church. The church is sitting in the pews. And it does look like an ark if you turned it upside down. And we're trying to get 2x2 or 7x7 to come into ark. And we preach all the time, like Noah preached for 120 years. Come on, God's going to come. And yet, well, I don't think he'll come in my lifetime. And so the content of the ark was more important than the ark itself. And we have to realize that people are more important than this building. Amen. And when the water started to recede from the flood, Noah sent out a dove to see if there was some dry land. He let the thing go. The thing flew around, got a little tired. And the dove was a type and shadow of the Holy Ghost. And so let's turn to Genesis chapter 8, verse number 9. Starting in verse number 8, it says, also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. He then put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. So the dove goes out, flies around, finds no place for rest, and returns back to the ark. Verse 10, and he stayed yet other 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet another 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. So, you know, how can we glean from this? See, man has built various places for God to dwell. Moses had a tabernacle in the wilderness. We study it, and it was a first grade school of redemption for us today. Those people didn't even know what they were doing, the high priest, and going through the motions. David had a tent for the Ark of the Covenant, and even Solomon's temple that was so precious, so beautiful, filled with gold and curtains and cherubs. But God would not dwell in any of those places. The first dove found no resting place to dwell and came back to the ark. Noah sent out the second dove 7 days later, and the dove stayed out until evening, or a short time, and came back with the olive branch, a symbol of peace representing our Lord Jesus' short time here on earth. The first dove represented all of the tabernacles, all of the temples, and God said, no, I'm not staying here. The second dove represented Jesus Christ, who came in the flesh and stayed 33 years, and he was the one who brought peace to us. And the third dove represents the day that we're living in, when the Holy Ghost was poured out on us, God finding a resting place in us, a place for his Spirit in order to stay. Hallelujah. I got a house. The place I always wanted to live. From the very beginning of time, God wanted to live in us. Hallelujah. Forget all of the majestic buildings that you can put together. The cost was enormous. More than all of the cathedrals, all of the churches that were ever built, the house he has always wanted had to be purchased with precious blood at Calvary. He has always wanted to move into that house, but couldn't until the price was paid. Amen. So if you turn to John, chapter 14, if you've been Pentecost for 15 minutes, you already know this by heart. John 14 and 1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." We just had a week ago a wonderful service called Many Mansions. In my house are many singing bodies. They're not houses. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. So what God is saying is, I'm not going to finish up heaven, because according to Isaiah 66 and 2, heaven has already been completed. Where was he going? He was going to Calvary in order to prepare a house. And that house is us. He paid by his precious blood in order to purchase the body of believers that he could eventually live in. Hallelujah. Jesus was on his way to Calvary to pay the price to move into his dwelling place. God could not take up residency in us until the house was purchased and the house was clean. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a lot of fixer-uppers, and most of us were them, you know? Not very good looking, especially from the inside out. There had to be a lot of remodeling. There had to be a washing down of the walls and the cleansing of our minds, you know? We had to be baptized in his precious name to have that blood of Christ cleanse us before he could ever move in. You're not going to move into some shack. You know, we have our standards. Well, God has his standards as well. He's not going to just move into anybody. Hallelujah. You better clean up the place. And the fact of the matter is, you need to make sure it is clean. That you don't clutter it with a bunch of ugly things in it. Hallelujah. Finally, a resting place for the dove, the spirit of the living God. Colossians 1 and 26. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, what could that be? But now is made manifest to who? His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when Jesus died on the cross, he said in John 19 and 30, it is finished. Been working on a place to live. Some of you have been remodeling. I think we've remodeled about 1,800 times. Our house added on and changing things. I think I've had 4 furnaces in my house over the years. Been 46 years since we built it. It was a temporary house. Never thought we'd last very long. But you know what? We grew to love the house and the location, and we were satisfied. But since then, there are new counters and new rooms and all of that. But all this time, it's been ours, you see. It's been tweaked to the place where this is what we like. Maybe somebody else wouldn't like it. And God's been tweaking and remodeling and touching up and repainting some walls and flushing out some ugly thoughts of our head and taking some of the old habits and getting them out of the house and putting new locks on the doors and a new surveillance system. The Holy Ghost says, no, no, you can't come in here. Hallelujah. Because it's his house. You know, it irritates me so much when these liberal people say, well, it's my body. I can do whatever I want with it. Really? Kill whatever is in it. Baby doesn't have a right. I have a right to control your body. I want you to know that you don't belong to you anymore. He bought you. He owns you. Hallelujah. There's got to be a trade-in value. So one day we take on his glorious body. And we leave these earthly bodies back, but they're just temporary housing. Glory to God. 400 years of longing and preparing. He said, I paid the price. Now I'm moving in. I suffered in order to buy this house. And now I'm moving in. Well, it's about time. I've been waiting for God to move in all my life. I didn't understand it. Hallelujah. There's a scripture you ought to read in Acts, the second chapter, verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly, oh, hallelujah, I'm moving in now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You've been doing the best you can, but I'm moving in now. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto him cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the dove, the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Oh, I'm so glad he moved in. I'm glad he took occupancy. Because since he moved in, other things had to move out. And since he moved in, I have better control over this flesh than I ever had ever in my entire life. Hallelujah. After the day of Pentecost, God's Spirit never wanted to go back to the Old Testament temples. Amen. Amen. No, we're not going back to the temples. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Verse 19. I love the way Paul writes, and I think he got excited when he was writing. What? You people think you can live any way you want with fornication and sin and all of this corrupt stuff? What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Well, I think, doesn't matter. You've been purchased. You know, you rent an apartment. You decide to make some changes in it, you know, or rip out the carpeting. The landlord might be a little upset because you're making changes to something that you don't own. Well, I think I'm going to remodel and we can do this and now we can do that. No, you see, did you talk to the landlord? Landlord? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your bodies and in your spirit, which are God's. He owns me. You ever hear people say, I own you? He could say that every day. I own you. And the spirit that is in you, I own you. And we live in a country that we feel so independent that we have rights and we have privileges. And God's saying, no, I own you. You can only do what I tell you you can do. At the rapture, Jesus will take full possession to be transformed and changed to have a body like unto his glorious body. Amen. Until then, the house is still flesh to keep clean and presentable as his house. We walk throughout this world and we are the living house, the living, breathing house of Jesus Christ. We are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are. You know, we live way below our privilege. You have to understand whose we are. Not who we are, whose we belong to. And we need to live our life according to who has authority over us. My neighbor once said to me, I would really like your house. And I thought to myself, over my dead body. And that's the way we keep the house for God. Over our dead body. You see, as long as we're dead, God can live in us. It is frustrating to keep asking people to come to church, isn't it? Would you please come? We're going to have a special service tonight, and it's going to be wonderful, and we'll give you a free Bible, and you're going to feel the presence of God, and we'll be nice to you, and there'll be people who will smile at you and shake your hands, and well, I don't think I can make it because I'm rearranging my sock drawer today. It's irritating because you have so much, and you want to give them so much to be happy, and they don't want to. But God had a better answer. Now that we're the temple of God, we become mobile churches. So if they won't come to church, we come to them. And believe me, they feel the Spirit of God that is within us radiating to them. And they're getting a little church every day that they're with us. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Revelation 21. Verse number 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Amen. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 5, and I believe it's verse number 20, that the angels want to look into what we have coming to us. One day the angels will say, whoa, there's one of those saints with the glorified body, just like Jesus' glorified body. We are in somewhat of awe of angels that are around. From time to time, God gives us a glimpse of the angels. But one day, we are going to be the rock stars of this world because we'll have immortality. We'll have glorious bodies. We'll be able to walk through walls. I won't have to call in airlines for a ticket. I'll just decide I want to be there. That's what Jesus did. We'll be able to do the same thing. Some people underestimate the love of God. There are people who wonder if God really loves them even after they've been filled with the Holy Ghost for years and years and years. They question, God, do you really love me? Well, he purchased the house for a great price. He's not moving out. Amen. Amen. I mean, how many of you got tired of the house and just walked away from it? You know? No, you're not. It's something that is a great value to you. Hallelujah. I put a lot of sweat, tears, sacrifice in three buildings of this congregation. Amen. And there may be some who would like to have this building, but they don't want what we have. And it makes a difference. Pastor, I sometimes just don't feel close to God. Listen, can you get any closer to God than having God live in you? He must have liked the house. He must have liked you so much to pay the price that he paid. In talking to Brother Littles last week, they bought a house down in Dallas, and the housing market is so intense there that they had to offer more money than what the seller was asking. And then there were so many offers that everybody had to write a letter saying why they wanted the house. And then the seller decided who would be good enough in order to have their house. God did more than just write a letter. He paid a price that was way beyond what this house was worth. Hallelujah. And all those buildings, you know, all the ones with marble and gold, silver. Some years ago, we went to the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota because my wife was having some heart problems, and they are better at diagnosing things like this in any place else. And so we got there early in the morning, and I asked one of the people, do you have a little chapel? And they said, oh, yeah, just follow the signs. This is a big place. So we followed the signs, and we got to these doors, and it opened up. And I'm telling you, it was about the size of this room, but there was marble and gold and carvings in wood. It must have been $40 million for this chapel. Nobody was there. We walked in and we're just in awe. You know, money is a wonderful thing. I'd like more of it. I've been so good, God. But you wonder if you could handle it. And then he gives us these little storefront Pentecostal churches. I was in one in Managua last year at this time and seated about 20, 25 people. It was a nothing place. But I'll tell you this morning, it's filled with the power and the presence of God Almighty. It's not empty like that building was empty. So God says, boy, I see how magnificent these buildings are. But I prefer to live in you.
All right.
And you. And you. And you. I want to be walking among people. I want my spirit to rest completely in you. And I want to demonstrate to the world how beautiful you are. And you're not stationary. You're not just a building that sits here for an hour and a half on a Sunday morning. But you are alive to the world for the rest of the week and for the rest of your life. Hallelujah. Amen. I belong to God. Hallelujah. For 41 years, he's been remodeling and touching up and changing some things, you know, changing the interior. And you know what? When he changes the interior, he also changes the exterior. So when we walk in the grocery store, somebody walks up and says, "Where do you go to church?" Because not only are they feeling something, but they're seeing something that they don't normally see. We stand out like a sore thumb to the rest of the world. And what it tells me is God's coming soon. He's getting more houses ready. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you glad that he moved in? Would you stand with me, please? I've got power that you can't see. Jesus is living inside of me. I can face any enemy because I and Christ are a majority. Amen. You never walk any place alone, folks. Never. Amen. Amen. We're going to open the altar to the house. Amen. Will you come?